Young and Dumb, a podcast for the young, dedicated, up-and-coming, motivated, and bold. Hear the journey of incredible individuals like you or I, who accomplish many things in their short lifetimes. Allow them to tell their story and share with you how they got to where they are today. And the best part yet is they're only just getting started. Welcome to the Young and Dumb Podcast.
And we're back. Mikey B from episode number 46 is back again for part two of his journey. It's been about 8 or 9 months since the last time we had him on his podcast, and there's been so many twists to his journey. It's going to be an incredible episode for you guys to listen to. He's a part of Poochie Butter now. He took a bit of time off of teaching to try and pursue his own passions, which didn't necessarily go the way that he wanted to, so he had to hop back into teaching, which again, he loves. He's teaching technology now. But we talked through all of that and the mindset, the mindset Monday, the self-awareness to know that he's not necessarily a number one in a company, but he knows what he can add value to a company, which is Poochie Butter. He's also a part of a foundation, and again, so much more stuff that we cover in this episode. But before we hop into this episode, if you get any value from the Young and Dumb podcast, from the Get Your Grind Up movement, please leave us a review on iTunes, as it helps us more than you could ever believe. Those reviews help us grow our voice, which in the end helps us grow your voice. So if you leave a review, let us know, send a screenshot that you're listening to the episode right now, tag us on Instagram, we'll give you a shout out, and yeah. You already know, get your grind up, but let's hop back into the episode. So, this week, we wrap with Mikey B.
What's going on, everyone? Glad to have you guys back with us. And if you're listening for the first time, welcome to the Young and Dumb podcast with your co-hosts from the East Coast, Justin and Gary, checking in live once again. This week, we're taking it back to episode 46, I should say. We brought on our boy Mikey B, the rapping teacher, with more bars than me and Justin combined. That says a lot there. But Mikey, really glad to have you on board with us today. Welcome back. Say what's up to the people.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for having me back. I'm super pumped to be on here. It was a lot of fun round one, so looking forward to round two.
Sweet. And I mean, whenever you come on the podcast, a lot of great, great energy. But we're going to focus all of that energy today into that loading bar once again. You know, it's our staple. It's how we got our claim to fame, that loading bar. So where do you feel like you are on your loading bar today?
Yeah, it's funny. So I was actually listening to Fernando and his conversation with you guys. And he said 1%. And I was thinking about, like, oh, that was a good answer. I like that. And I like his message behind it and everything. So I was trying to think outside of the box. I was going to say 99%. And I had a philosophy behind it. But then it didn't feel right. And my honest answer would be 50%. And the reason why I say 50% is because I truly do feel like I've kind of figured out the whole mindset game in life. You know, I really just am super grateful for everything that I have in life. I'm very self-aware in terms of what I want out of life, and I know what I'm doing. I know I'm in control of my own decisions. I know when I make good or bad decisions. So in terms of just like life itself, I feel like in the emotional side, I feel like I have that all figured out. And then in terms of being successful, maybe in terms of, hey, what kind of impact can I make in the world? You know, can I make a bigger impact? Can I build a bigger business, do more things, maybe make more money? That's the other 50% that I haven't really hit on terms of maxing out my bar.
Okay. That's interesting. Where you've looked at it from a unique perspective compared to most people that come on to our podcast, right? Most people, it seems that your loading bar is like a progression of your life, so to say. So some people say, oh, I'm 22 on my loading bar because I'm 22 years old, or I'm 1% because I feel like I have so much more to give. Whereas yours, it seems more of like segmentations of different pieces of your life that you've you're trying to master, right? So you've got like the mindset side, right? You've got your passions and like what you want to do, but now it's figuring out like, how can I make more money? How can I grow each thing and scale it? So that's a unique perspective. I don't think we've had that sort of perspective so far yet.
Nice.
But yeah, jumping into that though a little bit more, what has been going on since the last time we spoke? Before we spoke, last time you were just getting started on your podcast. Teaching was on the fence of whether you're going to go back into it or not. Tell us what's happened since then.
Yeah, so a lot has happened where my friend, he started this company called Poochie Butter, and he wanted to bring me on, and it was near the beginning of the summer. It was around early July, and I ended up just going for it. I ended up taking some time off for teaching. The previous year, I was doing a lot of entrepreneurship stuff in the classroom. So I was teaching my kids all about I call it the classroom economy, where they had to earn money. It was fake money, so through different, things that they were doing. So I was very hands-on in that, and the kids loved it for the most part. But I felt kind of like a hypocrite because I never actually built a business, and I didn't feel like a true entrepreneur. So I kind of wanted to learn the ways a little bit. So, knowing that I'm young, knowing that I have plenty of time ahead of me, and knowing that the economy was good right now, it would be a great time to start a business. I saw like very little risk in taking time to start a business with my friend. So it's called Poochie Butter. It's a peanut butter for dogs. And I also had the self-awareness of knowing that if I try to do it on my own, I probably would fail. And, that's the ego thing where a lot of people may, they may not understand that you don't have to be the man in order to have a successful business. You don't have to always be the number one. And he's very good in a lot of the business side of things in terms of handling, Amazon or handling business deals and talking to distributors and things like that. And I'm more of the creative type, and I have more like of not saying that he's not a creative type, but I have a very creative vision and I like getting down that path. So we worked really well together, and I ended up writing that out for a while. I wasn't taking any money from it, so I ended up getting back into teaching just like a month ago because I was running low on money. And I was like, all right, I'm going broke over here. I need a job because I was taking all the money and putting it back into business, marketing, advertising, all that. So yeah, I'm back teaching now. And I actually got a new role as a technology teacher. So before I was teaching as a middle school teacher, now I'm doing technology. So I'm teaching these kids about like robots and all these cool like virtual reality. It's really cool. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
No, it's dope that, you took the chance and you essentially rolled the dice and went into the business. I think that's great self-awareness, maneuvering your way through that, as a lot of people think, when you want to take on a project of that magnitude, it's like, all right, I got to do all of it by myself. Or by being an entrepreneur, it's me against the world. And it honestly doesn't have to be that way. I actually had a conversation with a college friend of mine this past week, and we're different places in life and progression. But one thing that stood out during our talk was like, whatever you do in life, understand that you don't have to do it yourself. That there are different ways to find your version of success. And if that's with you partnering with someone else or joining a group of other people in order to achieve a goal, all of that works. Again, it's great that you're able to get into Poochie Butter. I'm sure we're going to touch on that a little bit more, but I want to talk about your time back in the classroom. I know you love working with kids. I hear the passion and excitement in your voice. I'm sure they're glad to have you back as well. Tell me a little bit about some of the experiences that you had in the classroom, some things that you noticed where there are some small holes in our education system as a whole. That's something that Justin and I like to pinpoint as well. We're starting to open our eyes a little bit that even though we've grown through it, there are some places where we are lacking as a country. And what would you say some of those points are?
I'd say there are probably three big things. One of them is the one I'm heaviest on, which is definitely emotional intelligence. I don't really think the educational system supports the teachers and giving them enough time to focus on emotional intelligence. And but I'm doing a professional development teaching seminar thingy in like a week on Mindset Monday, which is my first one ever. So I'm super pumped about it because I'm trying to teach these teachers that you can actually teach emotional intelligence in the classroom on a regular basis every day without them even knowing it. So for example, I did it today. I was teaching these kids the first time how to use a robot. It's called Q-Bots. So it's it teaches them how to program. So you can program the robot to move like 5 feet left, 10 feet forward, 3 feet back. You can make it play music, do all these different things, light up. And it's teaching them to code. But I was going deeper into it before I introduced it. I asked them, I was like, why do you think we're actually using these robots today? Like, what's the point of this? So they all start raising their hands, giving questions like, because the school told us to, or they're like, because technology is evolving, so we need to keep up with it. And they gave all these answers that were pretty solid, but they didn't hit on the one thing that I was trying to emphasize, which was mindset. And I was trying to tell them, like, listen, did you know that actually working with robots and coding, it really emphasizes the skill of design thinking? Now, design thinking is something where it's kind of like, I think it's a 5-stage process, where the first one is to have empathy. So you have empathy in terms of humans understanding what people are going through. And then the second part is you try to solve a problem, or you identify the problem. So for example, someone like Charity Water, they're like, okay, let me have some empathy for these people that have no water. They start to identify the problem, they have no water. Then they start to think of ideas. How can I actually start to help these people get more water? What can I do? Oh, what if I built a well? What if I started collecting water from the, or what if I started collecting rain? And I give it to them, right? So you start thinking about it, then you actually create it. That's the prototype stage. And then you test it to see if it works. And then you start to build on it and develop it. So I was doing like a whole lesson on that. And I was teaching about like Charity Water and things of that nature. And I was talking about empathy. I was like, do you guys realize you're in one of the best school districts of all of New Jersey? And they really are. They're in the top 10 school districts. And I was like, you're working with robots right now. Like, do you know some kids, they don't even have access to water. And like, you can see the faces on them. They're just like, oh. Like, some of them don't even know, you know what I mean? It's just like the awareness, and you can just have that through a normal conversation. And then you're like, hey, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty here. It's like, hey, if you need to get a drink of water, you can go raise your hand, go get water, you know? But I just want you guys to be aware and be grateful. Like, you have a great opportunity. So let's work hard. Let's do what we can to make an impact in the world. You may not see it. And then I start going into how you're building up your mindset for future years. But it's that kind of teaching, that deeper thinking, where you're connecting the actual lesson to emotional intelligence, like empathy, you know, putting yourself in other shoes, connecting it to technology, connecting it to a way of thinking, how you actually think, how you think about problems. So I think that's one of the biggest things right there, is just really incorporating. And I can go on and on about this for like hours, because there's like a million examples. But that was just one that literally happened from today in class. And then just two quick bullet points. We'll take a second. The second one is technology, just incorporating more technology into the school systems. A lot of that has to do with finances and budgets. So, you know, some people are kind of held back, but the more that we can figure out a way to incorporate technology, you know, I think that kids are going to benefit from that. And then the third thing is having more freedom, where students have more choice in what they're actually learning. So they have more time where they can explore their passions or interests, or this, you have to learn that. And they're not really having the opportunity to explore their passion.
Yeah, and I think something unique that you hit on at the beginning, which is the emotional intelligence side, is so important, right? Because kids, especially when you're teaching them when they're young, they're very moldable and they're willing to learn. Whereas when myself and Gary were going to school, right? It was all about, you need to hit the books. You need to go to college. Once you get to college, you graduate with a 4-year degree and you'll be set with life. But the thing is, that mindset is kind of changing, that you hinted on. And it's shifting more towards that emotional intelligence, where you need to be able to interact with the people around you. And if you're not able to do that, then it's very tough to get a job. And once you get a job, tough to get promotions, because if you're not talking to the right people, if you're not able to sell yourself to your manager, so to say, then your manager is never going to pick you for that promotion. How long do you think it takes for the education system to really not necessarily fix itself? Because I think it's going to be an ever-changing flow, but kind of catch up at least a little bit to what the world is really looking for, and not necessarily 20 years behind, because we all know nowadays 20 years is a long time in terms of technology changes and stuff like that.
I'm seeing some small changes in the system right now. You know, there are people like me that are really passionate just about teaching in general. And there's so many amazing teachers out there that are doing incredible things. They are teaching a lot about emotional intelligence. Yale University, they did their study on emotional intelligence and how it benefits student performance in the classroom. And they have the RULER method, which is very similar to the five pillars of emotional intelligence, which is self-awareness, self-regulation, which is accountability, motivation, social skills, and empathy. So there are schools out there that are doing this. I think Yale is in like 2,000 schools maybe around America, so in their system. So there are schools that are trying to implement it. Even the school I'm currently working at, they have something called the mindset framework. So, you know, you always see teachers, they put up growth mindset in their classroom, but then they're not, it's just a poster. You know, they're not actually implementing it. It's just a little Band-Aid. But then you see some people that are actually trying to create that system within the school culture. And so I'm seeing it happen, but it's not really, it's not rapid. It's not moving fast enough. And I think sometimes, and teachers always hate when I say this, but don't take it personal, people, you know, but there are some teachers that aren't as passionate or fired up. So they're not willing to change. They're not willing to adapt, or they're not willing to learn. And obviously, like I said, there's amazing teachers out there, but there are some that are like, they're still kind of in the old ways. So it might take like a new wave of teachers, which may just take another 10 years for them to kind of, you know, move on.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm sorry, I've seen that through my schooling years. You have some that are pretty, I guess, modern in teacher sense, where they're trying new things, adapting new styles. Growth mindset is one of those styles. And there are some who are just, you know, set in their ways. And it's kind of, this is how it's always been done. Kind of thing. And I think that's just my personal view here, that that's what's going to hurt our transition into the new world as society changes. And it's made a drastic change over the past 20 years. I think that anybody can admit that there. But getting into schools where kids are growing up, we have the potential to lose an entire generation due to the not being able to keep up with how fast society's changing. So that's always been one of my biggest concerns there. How quickly can we get into these systems and make those changes? But it's great that you're getting hands-on with the kids and you're able to interact with them and implement some of these strategies. So far, what have you seen to be the most effective at the age of your students that you're working with?
In terms of like a teaching strategy, the most effective strategy? Kind of two things. One is Mindset Monday. It's actually just dedicating every Monday to teaching about this stuff. So it becomes a whole class in itself. So that for me has been very successful. It's had a lot of success where kids, you know, I've seen the transformation over time. It's a very long process. It doesn't happen overnight, which is why I do it every Monday, because it takes time. You know, like they're going to need time to evolve and to process this information. You can't change their mindset in a week. So Mindset Monday, doing it every week for the whole year, that's a big one. And then the second thing is leading by example. And that's something I'm really big on. So I live everything I preach. So everything I teach my students, which is why I took that year off, where like no matter what I do, I want to make sure that I'm leading by example. And whatever I teach them, I want to make sure I have a high understanding of it. And I'm speaking from personal experience. So I've walked the walk. And that's why I'm so big on psychology and mindset, emotional intelligence, why I study all that stuff, because I'm trying to learn as much as possible so then I can help teach my kids. And I think that it's just the teaching strategy is to lead by example within the classroom. So I think that's one of the biggest ones.
Okay. So let's dive into Poochie Butter. Very interesting name. I love the name. And something that's even crazier is the mindset you talked about earlier, right? Of that you don't need to be the number one guy or gal in a business. You can be number two, you can be number three, number four, whatever it is, whatever role that you know that you can play, right? You don't want to step outside your role. Can you talk us through figuring that out, because especially for the younger individual, they're seeing the Gary V's of the world, the Caleb Maddoxes, the Ty Lopez's, etc., saying you can master your life. You need to be that CEO. Maybe not Gary V, but like that's kind of the general consensus around entrepreneurship. Can you talk more about how you discovered that you knew that you weren't number one, so to say?
I'd say it was kind of always there a lot through failure. I tried building my own charity foundation a couple years ago, and I lost all my money. I was a complete failure, did not work out. And then I also tried starting a couple businesses. I never saw it through. I never actually made it happen. So I just never did it on my own. And same thing with my rap album. Like, I've rapped my whole life, and I just never put out an album. I always made excuses. I always would procrastinate. I would always, whatever it was all me. So I knew that there's something else. I needed someone to help me a little bit. And when my friend, he's my partner, he's my best friend, Henry, he's always talking to me about these ideas. We're feeding off each other. And he was like, yo, I got this idea for Poochie Butter. It's a peanut butter for dogs. Like, yo, dude, that's amazing. I was like, good luck. I'm teaching. I can't really help you, but go do it. So he started. He started to actually do it. And then when I saw him do it, I was like, yo, dude, like, this is real. And he asked me for some help. So I started helping him. And then he invested $20,000 into it in the beginning. And I had no money. And he was like, I'll give you ownership, but you have to work for it. And you got to prove it to me, like, that you can own part of the business. I want to see what you're capable of. And I was like, yo, 100%. So I was working to prove to him, not even to myself. It was to prove to him that I'm worthy. So I didn't sign a contract for Poochie Butter until like January 30th, like, which was like 2 months ago. So I've been working this whole time basically for free. You know, Gary's always like, eat poop. Like, I've been eating poop for a pretty long time, you know, like, and he, so like, I own 50% of the business now. And even though it was kind of under the table the whole time, he's like, dude, like, you're always going to own half, but he still had that, like, yo, prove it to me. So I just kept doing what I could. I kept exploring different things. Me and him, we have, this like unwritten rule, but it kind of just naturally came where we check our egos at the door. So when we're meeting together, we never like, we never sound condescending to each other. We never like rip on each other's ideas. We're always open to everything because we're big on collaboration. One of the best things you can do when collaborating is judge zero ideas. So if you have a whiteboard, write down everything, literally everything, no matter how stupid it is, no matter how crazy. And that leads to some crazy ideas, which actually work. Like right now we have some voiceover videos with dogs on Facebook. It just went to like 50,000 views and we're like, oh my God, what, this is crazy. So it's like things have developed over time, but that was my vision of like, dude, I'm telling you the social media thing is going to work, but you got to give me time to work there. So I went off topic a little bit, but basically, yeah, it was just that self-awareness of knowing that I needed a partner and he had that opportunity. So I jumped on it. And I took the risk.
No, that's dope, dude. And it sounds like it's coming along quite nicely. I know a lot of dog owners that would definitely be down for some Poochie Butter. So I love it, dude. And before we switch segments here, I also want to get in a little bit about your rap album as well. I think that's a big accomplishment in itself. Share a little bit about what's going on with that.
Can I actually jump back to actually
something
that you said before where you're talking about like ownership and, you know, you can work with other people, something that me and Henry have talked about. We have so many other ideas because Henry, he owns two other businesses. Mm-hmm. He owns a baseball pitching business for like low league teams, Total Arm Care. And then he also owns New Wave Digital Media. So it's a website. He designs websites for businesses. But we're thinking about just giving away ownership, not of Poochie Butter, but to other ideas that we have. And we're like, hey, we have an idea. Let's give you this idea and we'll just own a small percentage of it. And you can kind of run it and do it. We'll kind of invest in you. Almost like, I guess, investing. It's not like anything new. But it's that point of it's just that point of you don't have to own everything. You can still be part of it and like know what little sprinkles you can add to it. So, yeah. But yeah, going to the album, moving on. Yeah, I decided that I wanted to commit to finally doing it because I always talk about it and I never did it. And I really just looked myself in the face. Like, I actually went into the bathroom. I stood in front of the mirror. I called myself some bad names. I beat myself up emotionally, and I was like, dude, just do it, man. Like, what is holding you back? Like, make it a top priority. Make it a priority. So, yeah, I've been working hard on it. I was going to drop it May 3rd, and I was on track, but then I got this new job, so I'm slightly behind track now just because life got chaotic. So it's probably going to come out in June at some point. I just got to record the tracks. Mostly everything's done. So the whole message is about live your dreams, and there's a bunch of metaphors within it, but one of them is my whole philosophy and mindset is to live in the moment, enjoy the process. Life is a journey, you know, all that. And I do that through music. I really don't care if I blow up in music because I see it as a passion and a hobby. And like, I see that as me actually living the dream. Like, I performed on stage for, there's like another teacher, but oh, I should hook you guys up. There's a teacher that also raps. There's a couple of teachers out there that rap from New Jersey. We got a teacher cypher dropping. So yeah, we've got like a sick music video coming out where we're going to be in school and we're just going to be like rapping all this stuff. It's going to be crazy. So, but yeah, where was I going with that? But he, I don't know, I lost my train of thought. I got super excited in the moment because his album dropped today.
Well, we definitely got to give it a listen then. What's your flow in your rap album? Are you hip hoppy-ish in the way that you're Drake, or are you Kodak?
What?
Or like what's your flow, man?
I kind of say a little bit of Macklemore, honestly. Okay. It's like some of my songs. Like, this is where I was actually going with it before. A lot of my songs is about my personal story, about me being kind of insecure growing up and how I got over the mental battle. And now how, like, I feel like I'm in a really good place mentally. So I want to help kids and whoever listens to it. If you're going through a bad time, you know, you can get over that hump. So a lot of the songs are kind of slow in terms of, like, I have girls singing on the hook. I'm not doing my super rap. I mean, my super fast flow. So I'd say it's kind of like a Macklemore. Yeah, probably that's the best I can describe it.
Yeah, I'm sensing like some Macklemore, maybe even a little J. Cole, but I think I'd have to hear. But I definitely like the vibe so far. I'm definitely rolling with it. But with everything that we've covered right now, Poochie Butter, your new music, revitalized music career, and your reintroduction to your kids back at school and the technology world, we've covered a lot, 50% of your journey so far. So give us shine a little light on what that other 50% looks like. I know it's hard and that changes by the day, but give us a little insight there.
So the ultimate goal has been to build my own school. And I've been on that path for a while. Like I said, I've been on that path for 7 years now. Been a total failure at it, but you know, it's that patience, that process. And I do think my legacy will be remembered as that guy that spent like 35 years trying to build a school and he never gave up and he finally did. And then that school became a system and a foundation and kind of just like a whole practice, like a whole way of teaching that other teachers can mimic, other schools can mimic. It's a whole culture where it's very positive. And so my school is very different than any other schools, and I won't go too deep into it, but it's kind of like an entrepreneurship school where they do have that freedom to explore their interests, their subjects, their passions. Very technology driven. There'd be a lot of technology tools in there. You would have mentors. They wouldn't really be seen as teachers, but more mentors that help guide them. I see it almost as like a really, really nice gym. You know, when you go to a gym and you have the choice to go and work out and do whatever you want. But if you want, you can get a trainer and they can help you. Or if you want, you can go to the yoga studio and get a yoga class. You can go to Pilates. I don't know if you ever heard of Lifetime Fitness, but then they have basketball courts. So you can go play basketball. You can go rock climbing. You can go swimming. They have a cafe. So it's the same kind of philosophy in the terms of you can literally, it's a school of dreams. Whatever your dreams are, we will help you achieve your dreams. And that's essentially what my goal is to, it may not be a school replacement, but it may end up just being kind of like a supplement, you know, but that's my vision to build a school. And everything I'm doing right now is all for that. You know, my rap music, if I ever do blow up hypothetically, like I'll go on record, I'll donate like all my money to charity. I didn't even mention that. I'm on a charity board. So right now I actually raise money for the Children's Scholarship Fund. And so like I do that all the time in my spare time. So I'm really big into giving back and helping out kids that don't have enough. So Poochie Butter, we donate to charity. We do charity events. So like all this stuff is always about giving back. And that's kind of where the other 50% is in terms of making an impact. How big can I make that impact? You know, I'm happy with what I'm doing. And if I die tomorrow, I'll still be happy. But, you know, it's that other 50%. Let's see how high we can go.
All right. All right. I love it, man. So that moves us to our favorite part, which is the deep thinking questions. So
yes.
Question number one, let's imagine I'm a student, right? I'm a middle school, high school student age, and I hate school. My mindset is school's the worst. I don't learn anything from it. It's a waste of my time. What are you telling to me to make me change my mindset towards school so that it's not necessarily that I hate it anymore, but it's something that I want to look forward to go to every day?
Yeah, so I'll just have a conversation. I'll ask you, well, like, if you don't want to go to school, what would you rather do?
I'd rather be at home playing Fortnite.
So do you know that people make millions of dollars playing Fortnite?
Yeah, and Ninja dropped out of college, so I should drop out of high school.
You don't have to drop out, but you can practice and you can learn how to become a better Fortnite player. So you got to train. You should go home, not do your homework, and you should play Fortnite. I'm telling you that. You should. Like, if I give you homework, don't do it. Play Fortnite. But in school, if you're here with me, let's focus your mind on getting the work done. So you're training your mind, which is like a muscle. So you may not want to actually do the work, but even being a professional Fortnite player, there's going to be a lot of things that you have to do that you don't want to do. But in order to be a professional, you have to master your mind. So let's focus on doing these math problems right now, and or whatever we're doing, right? If we're reading a book, like, let's focus on this work at hand. So that will actually help you become a better Fortnite player. And then that would be like a basis of a, like, of the conversation, but then you just keep going deeper and deeper into it.
No, over I the like course it. Of the year. I like
you just
it.
Want to reverse engineer what they want. Whatever they want, you help them.
Most definitely.
I'm sold. I'm ready to go play Fortnite right now.
Well, because like if you think about it, most teachers, right, if they get a student, at least from my perspective of when I've said something similar to my professors or teachers, they're like, oh, you just need to go to school. Like, that's it. Like, you just need to go.
No other option.
There's no, yeah, you need to go. That's the only answer. It's like, why do you need to know math? Because you need to know. I've heard that so many times. But when you reverse engineer it in this fashion of like preparing your mindset, because when you become a pro, you need to have a strong mind. You need to have mental toughness more than physical toughness or muscle memory or anything like that. Then it starts to click in the student's head and it makes so much more sense. So I commend you. I try to test you, and you
definitely passed. No, I mean, I think it's before you get to the next question, the point in training your mind into doing a lot of things you didn't want to do. I think that's huge, because there's a bunch of stuff I don't want to do. And back in the day, it was just like, guess what? I'm not doing it. That's it. Like, if I don't feel, and if I don't see that immediate benefit or how it will affect me long run, and you know, kids are a little naive. They don't really think as long-term as they should or possibly could. They get into this mindset of, well, if I don't see a immediate benefit or if I don't see how that connection's made, that's it. Hands off. You lost me. I'm not doing it. And training yourself to do things you don't do is huge.
And then even adding on to that, that's well said. And then going into the whole being uncomfortable makes you stronger and it helps you grow, then that's a whole nother conversation. So like, those are the emotional intelligence things where like, you don't need a Mindset Monday lesson. You can just talk to a kid and teach them valuable stuff.
That's huge, man. That's huge. Well, going into our second question here, I had such a good question and we were getting so into this. Let me just bring back. Give me like 2 seconds right now.
Too much time talk, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had it, and then we got so into this, and I was like, I got to jump in. Oh, boy, let's bring this back. Okay, yep, got it, boom. So, second question. A reoccurring theme in the pod so far was this idea of you attempting to do different things and the idea of failure. And throughout my life specifically, and I'm sure a lot of other people can attest to this, failure was looked at as this awful thing that everyone wants to try to avoid. No one likes failure, but it seems to be a recurring theme in your life, something that you've accepted, embraced, and brought to the forefront. How have you become accustomed to failure as a normal life entity, and how have you gotten that, used that to get you to the next level?
So it sounds cliche, but it's very true. I just see it as an opportunity to grow, but I really, really live with that mindset. So for example, when I told you that, you know, I was trying to start that charity a couple of years ago and I lost all my money, I borrowed money from my friend because I was really good at blackjack. So I can make tons of money playing blackjack. So my goal was to make thousands and almost $1 million through blackjack and be one of those like famous poker players and then give all that money to charity. Like I was going to be rich to do that. So he believed me, and like, because he's my best friend, he's my partner now. So he gave me money to gamble. And when I was in the casino, you know, it was a horrible feeling. Like I felt like this isn't my money. Like every hand, it was stressing me out. I ended up losing all of it and I had to pay him back. So I picked up a second job while I was teaching, working at a gym, making smoothies until like 11 or 12 o'clock at night, sleeping in my car at the gym, waking up at 4:30, getting like 4 hours of sleep, going to the gym, showering, and then going to work, teaching crazy kids all day, and then going back to work. Like I was just talking about eating poop, right? And I saw that as a way that it was making me mentally tough. Like, I'm going to get out of this. This isn't forever. And I planned it out. I was like, okay, I got to do this for like 8 months. So, you know, for the next 8 months, you're really going to have to work. You're going to have to work hard. And no matter what it is, anything that I've gone through in life, I just always see it as an opportunity to get stronger and get better. And when you really believe that and you make it a core value, you never care about failing because it doesn't matter. You know, it just doesn't matter.
I get that, man. But that's an incredible story too.
Yeah.
Not only just to be able to live through that and learn, but to have the confidence to tell it and inspire others and say, hey, I messed up, but this is how I got through it. And this is what I'm doing now. And that's amazing, man. So before we ask our final question, where can people find you? Where can they get this Poochie Butter? When or where can they find this album when it does drop? Where's it going to be? Give yourself a shout out.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you. So my name's Mikey B. That's two E's at the end, as in Bumblebee. On Instagram, it's Mikey B3. So if you just go online and Google me or go on YouTube or Instagram, you can find me. Poochie Butter is pretty simple. It's just Poochie Butter. You can Google us. If you want to send me a DM, I'll try to give you some discounts. Maybe we'll hook you people up if you want anything. And then my album should be coming out, like I said, probably sometime in mid-June. My original day was May 3rd, but it looks like that may not happen anymore. So I'm looking until like June 20th, around there. But yeah, just look up Live Your Dreams, Rapping Teacher, and you'll find me.
Amazing, man. All right, so final question. What's a question that you wish that we asked you?
Wasn't prepared for that. So let's see. A question I wish you asked me. You actually did a very good job. You asked a lot of great questions. You did a good job of interviewing. I would say, can I throw it back? Is this allowed? Is there a question you really want to ask me that you didn't ask?
That's interesting. Is that cheating? No, I think that's fair. I think it's fair.
I'm a lot of questions.
I mean, if I can definitely think of something.
All right, I got something though. What is the charity that you're working for right now? So I guess like that. Just giving them a quick shout out.
Yeah, basically, yeah, sure.
They're the Children's Scholarship Fund, and actually, it was Gary V. So I don't know if you remember that video when I got on Gary's vlog and he gave me advice about what to do for a charity. And he was like, you got to find Sally. Sally will give you, you got to give Sally 20% of your business. And that's how you'll find someone. I was like, oh, okay. So he like posted that video on Facebook. And then a girl reached out to me and she was local. She just moved to New York. And she was like, hey, I work for a charity. Do you want to come volunteer? So like, yeah. So I started volunteering there. And then eventually they're like, hey, we have a position open on the Young Leaders Board as a like a marketing director, events coordinator. And I was like, oh, I would love to be part of that, planning some events to raise money. So I was like, yeah, sure. And, you know, I haven't done anything too much in terms of actually planning the events. We have a plan for doing an all-star game out in LA, a celebrity all-star game, and we have some connections out there, so that could be cool. But yeah, it's just working with a charity has been very fulfilling, you know, and I just suggest to anyone out there listening, trying to volunteer more as much as possible. Like, this is another thing I didn't mention. I won't go on a rant or anything, but my best friend, not the one Henry, but my other best friend, her name's Rashida, and she's like a 39-year-old black woman who's in a wheelchair, who's disabled, that can't walk, and she has a disease called Lesch-Nyhn syndrome, so she can't even feed herself. And I volunteered with her for years, and we became friends. And when you really work with people hands-on like that, you really start to understand how good your life is. And then you stop having these negative emotions. You don't really complain about anything. You never get upset. And even when you do get upset, you just find a better way to handle it. Because you're like, you know what? It's not even that bad. This time will pass. So volunteering as much as possible is such a powerful way to really connect with people in general and then just have more fulfillment in life. So, yeah, just...
That's huge, man. It goes back to that emotional intelligence. Like, it goes a long way. It just comes in a lot of different shapes and sizes. And it seems to me, at least, that you're really putting those pieces together. So, kudos to you. And that's a lot of great advice for our listeners out there. But Mikey, yeah, I want to take this opportunity. Round two, absolutely killed it. Thank you so much for hopping on the podcast, dropping knowledge as usual. And we got a lot of big takeaways. So again, appreciate it, man.
Awesome. Thank you. Real quick, I got to give you guys a shout out too, where I've made so many excuses about not interviewing people because I don't have like the right place or like the right equipment. I'm like, oh, I can't interview people. And you guys are just out here hustling, doing a good job with your podcast. You're getting people, connecting with people. And I got to reflect on myself. Like, man, I'm making excuses. I'm like, oh, I can't. So you've inspired me. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Appreciate that, man. I mean, listen, I've actually recorded in my closet for a couple episodes. Justin seen the background. Like,
I love it.
We go to some lengths. And Justin was in a friend's apartment after like a dinner last week, something like that. But we make it work.
Yeah. Love it, man. I love it. Very powerful. Sweet.
And for all of our listeners out there, a lot of great information today. Don't be afraid to hit up Mikey on all of his socials. Or if you want to learn a little bit more about him, hop on our website, GetYourGrindUp.com, or you can follow us on our social, GetYourGrindUp on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You already know it's the year of GetYourGrindUp. All 2019, we're coming with the heat. Always remember, we are all young and dumb.
And never forget, get your grind up.
Love you guys. See you soon. Peace.
Peace.